We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. This is the O-Line Committee.
Happy draft month, gentlemen. It is draft month. It is April. It feels like the kind of the calm, but between the storms, right? Free agency.
Oh, yeah.
First wave is done.
Yep.
You got all these pro days, the quarterback pro days. Michael Penix finally did his, and Jaden Daniels. So we're sitting right in the middle of it right now, gentlemen.
So close.
Welcome back to the Coffee Gang, Alex Boone.
Dude, can I just say.
We made it through Easter. Boone's back on the coffee grind.
Back on the coffee grind. Not that I needed it, but it is incredible. Dude,
you always need coffee.
It's so good. Do you just have an IV going into your left bicep right now?
You have no idea, dude. It's been incredible. I'll tell you what, though. I think I'm swearing off monsters forever. I think I might have to.
That's an absolute lie, dude.
Listen. I'm really concerned about them. I've been reading about them, and they're not good. They are not good for you. I'm just going to be fucking straight, dude.
Nothing in the quantity in which you drank them is good for you.
Dude,
you would have like four
six a day. Dude,
yeah,
six.
That's not good for you.
What, dude?
Literally.
Oh, six a day.
During the summer.
We'd be driving home at 9 p.m. And I'd be like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm going to go right to bed. It affected him zero.
What?
I just like the taste of it. But I was talking to my kids, and I was like, guys, I think I'm going to get off it. Even they looked at me like,
guys,
are you okay? They take that time that I go to the gas station to like, they'll be like, Dad, can you get me gum?
Yeah.
I'm like, God. So now they're pissed I'm quitting. They're like, are we still going to go to the gas station? Well, yeah, Dad needs gas, silly.
I'm pulling open Monster Energy drink ingredients here real quick. So
it's not what you want.
It's not great.
Dude, first of all, one can of Monster Energy drink is 27 grams of sugar.
No. He gets the sugar. I do the ultras.
It's ultra watermelon.
Dude,
Boone's an ultra watermelon guy.
The best.
And he will get two to three at a time. And I know this because I bought them for him.
Oh,
I'm like, hey, I'm running by the gas station. You need anything? Yeah, get me a can of Copenhagen and three watermelon monsters. And then we'll swing back by on the way to get my afternoon cans in.
The zero ultras. Okay, but how much? There's caffeine in these.
Yeah, people.
People sensitive to caffeine should avoid. How many milligrams of caffeine are in these?
I think it's like 200, right?
Probably closer to three.
Yeah, it's like 2 seconds.
So you're drinking like 2,000 milligrams of caffeine
every
day.
Does this surprise anyone when I told you about the time he drugged me? Like, he drugged me
That's
with.
Right.
He drugged me with caffeine pills before practice, right? He's like, here, I take like four of these 2,000 milligrams before an 8 a.m. practice or an 8 p.m. practice.
Hey, you got to be moving, dude.
Hey, if you're off them, I'm happy for you.
Dude, you know what?
Thank you.
It's you and Dan Campbell remain the same person. I'm so glad you guys got to meet at the combine. So Dan Campbell apparently starts his day during the season. He gets up at like 4:30, whatever. he goes to Starbucks and gets two venti-sized coffees, which have 410 milligrams of caffeine in each one.
Well, that's just literally if it's like regular
stone
coffee.
Cold Steve Austin.
That's just if it's regular
just
coffee.
I'm just to start his day at
but
5 a.m.
But that doesn't even know if that's like the secret of drinks. Like, I've stumbled across the hazelnut shake and espresso drinks at Starbucks where it's just five shots of espresso with a little bit of hazelnut and oat milk in there, and that's a great way to start.
Is that why you get it? Yeah. I was wondering, I go, why is he getting this oatmeal drink? Like, what is
Dude,
this?
It's and all freaking great. Jittered. It's four shots of espresso right to the dome, shaken on ice. Sign me up for that. Now, I sound like an absolute wuss ordering it, right?
Sound like a
I'll
chip.
Have yeah. a venti.
Do you want some pumpkin spice
espresso,
in there?
Two pumps hazelnut with an extra shot, please.
What's your name, sir? Jeremiah. J-E-R-E.
Do you have rewards with us, sir? No, I do not. Now, just give me my coffee before someone sees me.
Just give me my coffee quickly. Oh, dude. I was wondering that when I ordered it, I go, monster. I don't even feel right ordering this thing.
Yeah.
I go, can I get the shaken hazelnut espresso?
But
it's for my wife.
I don't know.
It's for my friend.
Well, that's like my wife's like a venti shaken pistachio cold Ooh. Foam cream. And I don't even know what we're doing.
Have you had the pistachio? Okay, have you had it?
I haven't, no.
What's harder to remember, an NFL play call with a check on the end of it or your wife's Starbucks order?
For 100%. Sure, Starbucks.
Because if you screw that up, you're getting in just as much trouble as you screw up any. You screw up a protection you're getting screamed at. You screw up that coffee order, dude. You might as well not even come home.
So true.
You might as well have pulled her heart out and stomped all over it and been like,
She'll
yep.
be like, hey, did you forget the cream? Did you ask him for cream? And you're literally.
I said cold foam.
Hey, the thought runs through your head. I swear I fucking asked. I don't know what happened. But, dude, protections are way easier because you can always ask your friends. Hey, are we two or three? Are we going two jet or three jet? Yeah.
Did she want the lemonade with the dragon fruit refresher or no?
God. I've actually had my wife, like, record herself ordering it before so that I can, like, listen to it beforehand. And, like it's like the headset and the helmet, right? Like, venti, cold foam, pistachio. All right, I'm ready.
I think
it should
ready.
Be like in a real NFL game where the headset cuts out after like 15 seconds.
Oh God, panic!
Shit. Oh God, kill it!
Kill! Oh man. Anyways, welcome to the O-line committee here, where we have now 19,000 YouTube subscribers. Thank
Dude,
you
huge.
Appreciate you guys.
Love it.
Yeah, we're gonna get. By the way, we're adding a segment here. We always usually ask a question to start the show. We're gonna officially call it the first segment of the show, the Big Boy Question of the Week here, which we'll get to. We'll identify some mics. We got some dumb football questions. The best things you guys can do to help us grow this show. We're like 11 months, 10 months into this show. We launched it in the middle of the off season last year. Like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. And also give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify on the audio side. And when you're giving us that review, don't forget to leave us your favorite obscure all-time offensive lineman.
Yeah.
We have a few that we're going to get to in the dumb football questions portion of the show here. You can follow us on any social media platform at O-Line Committee. And we have merch, offensive line lifestyle merch, over at olinecommittee.com, gentlemen. So here's the big boy question of the week. Oh, spreads are for losers. Jay's got the spreads.
Gotta have it.
For
that a boy.
So soft.
It is soft.
It's very, very buttery. They're very comfortable.
Feels good.
Yeah. You never know sometimes. You know, you get the merch and you want to make sure it's comfortable for people.
Yeah, it's good.
We feel good about the quality.
Big boy approved.
So here's the big boy question of the week. I want you guys to stick a flag in the ground and identify your sleeper NFL team. Now, sleeper could mean one of two things. I'm going to define it one of two ways. It could be a team that's already pretty good that not enough people are talking about as a contender to get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Or it could be a team that people think is going to be pretty garbage this season that you think is going to make a surprise run to the playoffs. Those are kind of the two definitions of sleeper here. So we'll start with Jay. Give us your sleeper team now.
I don't know if this is a fair sleeper team to pick because of the success that they had last year, but the Houston Texans.
Just stole mine.
I really do. I mean, here's my thing.
We all agree.
That was going to be
But I mean, you hear about the Chiefs and you hear about the Bills and you hear about Josh Allen, Mahomes, and even Cincinnati with Burrow, right? And you hear about the kind of elite quarterback play, but no one is, in the national eye at least, in my opinion, is talking about how C.J. Stroud is going to take a next step and be better than all those guys next year, right? Because I planted the flag last year, C.J. Stroud, MVP, right? I planted that flag on this podcast middle of December last year, but I still think it's true. I think they go out and, you know, they brought in Joe Mixon, which is going to be a massive, massive help for them in the run game. Mm-hmm. I think they probably draft him another weapon. Right, I mean, Tank Dell's coming off the ACL, but you go get a you go find your way to maybe Brock Powers falls down to them at one point. You know, I know they had Dalton Schultz just extended, but you know they made some moves on the defensive side to get some pass rushers there too on next to Will Anderson. They did lose Reader. You know, I think Reader ended up going to Cincinnati.
They lost Grenard to the Vikings,
but then they grabbed Danielle Hunter, right? So it's just kind of same, hello, right? Just a little trade ski.
Maybe an upgrade.
Yeah, maybe an upgrade too. But I really love what the Texans done. I love what D'Amico Ryans is doing down there. Fantastic coach. But I think that they have all the tools set up of going against an AFC South division that, you know, is kind of new. Right, you're getting, okay, is Anthony Richardson going to be able to stay healthy the whole time in Indianapolis? What's Tennessee going to look like? Right, they're all brand new too. Jacksonville is, I don't know if they're going to be able to get out of their own way.
Right.
I mean, last year I planted the flag with them and no tattoo. I'm not willing to go tattoo bet on them yet. That's a little aggressive. Wow. Oh, you're ready to go tattoo bet?
Yeah, Booney's one-upping your answer.
Dude, you just said it though. Think about that division. Like if Anthony Richardson doesn't come out hot,
I really don't want a Texans tattoo on my neck. Like but badly.
Said you got listen, you're so crazy. You go right to the neck. Like
that's
dude,
what,
put
that
it on
was
your
the bet. The bet was the freaking.
Did we say neck? I think you said neck.
I'm not getting divorced because you guys want to see a tattoo. That's not going to happen. But I will say this. You just said it. The division. Like, one of the things about being a sleeper team is you have to be able to win your own division.
Correct.
And when you talk about one of these divisions, like, it'd be easy for someone to come in and be like, oh, well, the Oakland Raiders are going to be my – it's like, okay, well, have you not seen who they're going to have to fight to get through there? That's silly. But you talk about Houston, and they're in one of the divisions that's kind of like, this is up for grabs right now. Oh, and by the way, we have a super solid young core, and our head coach is super awesome, and he's young, and he's into this right now, and we're about to go crazy. And you just said it. Joe Mixon and Danielle Hunter, dude, you're starting to add pieces to weapons of guys that know what they're doing in this league. Like guys that are super tough. Danielle Hunter is one of the best in the NFL at getting sacks. Joe Mixon is one of the toughest running backs in the NFL. Like you're talking about two guys that are going to add and contribute to this team of a nucleus that has already gone crazy. So it is kind of like, is it going to be Anthony Richards or is it going to be Houston? Like what's going to happen? And that's honestly because I do feel like you said, Jacksonville, are you going to get out of your own way? I don't know, man. Like, you guys had it all cush last year, and then all of a sudden the wheels fell off.
And it was your division last year.
Right, and a lot of that came from your quarterback took too many hits. Like, it's the same thing every year. We always talk about this, and this is what drives me nuts is how every year we always talk about this team didn't do well because their quarterback took too many hits. Like, he just couldn't withstand the season. He was getting obliterated. At one point last year, we broke down their film, and we were like, dude, we just can't even watch this anymore. Like, this dude's getting tattooed from every which way. He had to carry himself up the ramp, remember? Like, we all watched it for, like, 10 minutes, and we're like, somebody just help him.
Send the cart, man.
It was just a lot. But that's, to me, is why I'm like, yeah, Houston is one of those sleeper teams that could jump in there out of nowhere. But it's the thing is not that they're going to come out of nowhere anymore. Everyone sees them coming. It's just they hit all the – I don't know. What are we going to say? They hit all the benchmarks to be like, yeah, we're there now. This is who we are, and then we're going to run this division for a while, which is crazy because, dude, if you think about it, Houston ran that division for a long time. They just couldn't do anything in the playoffs. Like, they were one of those teams that in the year you were like, ah, a tough team. They got in the playoffs and lost every wild card. You were like, what the hell? Like 5 years in a row, and you're like, why are these guys just not doing it? Now you see this team, and you're like, okay, I get it. They're young. They have a great coach. They're excitable to watch. They're really fun. What's going to happen? They get in the playoffs. They start going. You're like, wow, this is what's up. That's why, to me, I'm tattoo bet all the way.
Wow.
You're taking tattoo bet in freaking April 2nd?
Let's go, bro. Let's go.
I just want to be clear about what you guys are saying here because, so again, the two definitions of sleeper team are a team that people think are going to be garbage. So last year they would have fit the, they're going to be garbage, rookie quarterback, you know, it's D'Amico Ryans, we don't know about him, and oh, they pop up and they become a playoff team. You're saying they're going to go from, hey, they got into the playoffs, nice little taste, and AFC Championship game, AFC, Super Bowl AFC is on the table Bowl. For them.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, you look around like Buffalo had to blow up their team, right? Buffalo had to blow up the Kansas City, and we'll get to it. I mean, we've got issues in Kansas City again.
Big issues.
Big question marks on Joe Burrow if he's back to what he is and how he wants to be, right? And you start looking across the AFC West or the AFC, like they're right there. I think they are just as talented, if not more talented, than some of those teams. I think they are 100% AFC Championship Super Bowl contenders.
Okay. I want to give you – so you guys are both Houston Texans. I don't disagree, by the way. I think C.J. Stroud, you jump in like that. I don't think that was a fluke. Maybe there's like a little bit of a second-year dip or something, but – I'm going to give you my team. I want to stump for the Jaguars for just a second. They're not my official team, but I feel like people forget that team was 8-3 before Trevor Lawrence's high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
And they were right at the top. They were fighting for home field advantage in the AFC. So he suffers a high ankle sprain, grinds through it. He winds up throwing like 7 interceptions in December. And so I feel like there's a lot of people, because not a lot of people are just entrenched in Jaguars week-to-week storylines, that kind of look at the big picture of their season and say, well, Trevor Lawrence threw a bunch of interceptions and they collapsed down the stretch, and, you know, classic Jaguars, and there's even some talk about maybe Lawrence is a bust, you know, relative to it. Dude,
when they were
8-3, nobody was talking about them that way. They were being talked about as an AFC championship team. So
to be
fair,
I want
to stump for them.
No, I agree. And Jay, you were on them last year, and for a minute there, I got nervous for you.
Yeah,
like I was kind of like, dude, you're screwed. But listen, we've talked about this, and we get caught doing our own things. If you're crowning a team within the first 10 weeks of the season, you're an idiot. Because we all know that the first 10 weeks are just the wake-up session. And then it's, what do you do in November and December and now into January? Like, what do you do then? And that's why it's at times you're like, that could be a good sleeper team, but it's, do they get out of their own way? It's the same thing with them every year. The quarterback is constantly taking too many hits. They can't put up enough points. The defense is running wild. Like, dude, back in 2013 when they were good, we played them. Their team was led by their defense. Like, they were just legit on the field. I remember we played them in Arizona. And I remember we were playing their defense, and dude, that game went down to the wire. And it was the most physical, ridiculous fight you ever got in, but it was kind of like, this is why this team is good. And then that whole defense got disbanded. Blake Bortles was their quarterback. Like, it was like, dude, this is crazy. Remember they went to Pittsburgh, right? And they beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs, and then they went and they lost to the Bills. Dude, that was like the last time, and probably maybe the only time, the Jaguars have been really relevant in the last 15 years. And since then, it's been the same issues. They just can't do it enough. And you're
Trevor Lawrence, I think Trevor Lawrence is still one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL. Take away the handle.
For sure.
And Doug Peterson, I know the collapse in Philadelphia and the way it ended, but Doug Peterson once was a Super Bowl champion, offensive guru head coach. Like,
right.
You know, let's see.
My question is, what have they done in free agency, though, to make you think that they're going to be this?
They lost Calvin Ridley,
which is huge.
To get Josh Allen back and not have a big issue there, I think is paramount.
But you still have Kirk. I mean, Kirk was really cute, was wide receiver one there. Like, Ridley was the one that took the top off the defense, but when it came nut cutting time, Trevor Lawrence was looking for Christian Kirk.
They added Eric Armstead after he was released from the 49ers, right? They
the in terms 49ers of crew.
Gabe Davis jumps in as, ooh, I don't know, a number 2.53 receiver.
He's probably gonna be a two.
Two.
I mean, he'll be a two.
Yeah, Ronald Darby, Darnell Savage. By the way, Mac Jones as a backup quarterback with
Johnny was just talking to me about that yesterday. Johnny was like, dude, I feel bad for Mac Jones. And I was like, why? He was like, because it's a backup now. I go, that's how it goes, dude. Like, if you don't if you don't win games, you can't be the starter. And he was like, I just feel bad for him.
He's going to look great with a backwards hat, holding a clipboard, little headset, helping Trevor Lawrence during a timeout. Earpiece, Yep, dude, sounds good. Sounds good.
Best life ever. But yeah, I guess I can see that.
I'm gonna give you my real sleeper here. And again, this is a team now that has to be like NFC championship level for it to qualify. Give me the youngest team since the NFL expanded the regular season to 16 games in 1978. The youngest team, period. The Green Bay Packers. So according to stathead.com, boys.
Oh, God.
The Packers are one of only two teams since 1994 to reach the playoffs with three or fewer players over the age of 30 on their roster. They were a fringe top 10 scoring offense last year. Dude, if I were to say, don't even, like, I'm not even going to give you the name of the quarterback, but there's a team, a rising team with a really young roster, and their quarterback threw for 4,200 yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, a passer rating that was just outside the top 10, QBR top 10. You'd be like, yeah, he's mobile. He's got a huge arm. He's got cojones to make throws in tight windows. Jordan Love, man.
Yeah.
And nobody was talking about him like this in October for good reason, because he didn't really click until November.
Yeah, no. He did not have a great start to the year, but the way that they finished the year and the way they went down there and just throttled Dallas. I mean, just throttled Dallas. And you're sitting there going, oh shit, these dudes are for real. Right? And you talk about them adding some pieces in the draft again. I mean, it's because they have cap room now because Bakhtiari's gone. Yep. Right, he was eating a big chunk of the cap just sitting on the bench, right? So there's a lot of cap room for them now to kind of wiggle around and do some things. I agree with you, Mackie. I think they're dangerous. I think the NFC North is theirs for the taking, right? You talk again, it's Detroit and Green Bay, right? That's going to be the clash of the NFC North.
Yeah, it is.
The Vikings are in trouble. The Bears are, who knows what they're going to do with pink nails. And, you know, just kind of figure it out as we go. But it's fun to watch a young quarterback come into his own in real time. And that's what we got to see last year, right? We saw the struggles. We saw Matt LaFleur be able to stick with him, really tailor it to what he needed to succeed with, and then to go all the way. And yeah, that's going to be a fun team. And it's going to be interesting to see if they can continue to keep that flash in the pan they had in December of last year in January. And can they keep growing with that? Or is there a little step back to get back to that? That's kind of going to be how hot out the gate do they come.
And not only that, but how well does Josh Jacobs play for them? And how much of a load does he take off of
Jordan Love? Is he that much better than Aaron Jones?
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
I don't know.
Let's be honest. I think
he's
when they're
younger.
Looking
he's
at
like
this,
he's like 4 years younger, which might be what they're aiming for.
I think they see like someone that can counter this A.J. Dillon, this big back that can do a lot of things. And you're looking at it like maybe he can take off a little bit more. I agree with you. I think that not A.J. Dillon, but
Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones was phenomenal towards the end of the year. Yeah, he was hurt in the middle of it, and it was kind of sucked that he wasn't playing. But towards the end, he was fine. But I think that this is something internally that they were like, hey, we can get younger at this position and a guy that could possibly take on a little bit more for us and take a little bit more off of Jordan Love. Let's do it. Like, maybe they see something, or maybe they're changing their scheme, whatever it is. But to me, that's going to be a big question, because you're right. The Lions are kind of one of those
teams.
They're young, too, by the way.
You have to dethrone the king, and they were the king last year.
The problem is, though, the Lions will fight you to the death. So it's like, this is going to be a clash of titans, technically, towards the end, because you're right. Like, are the Bears going to be good with Caleb Williams? We don't know. It's too early to tell. Who knows what's going to happen? You have two great receivers and Swift in the backfield. It'll be interesting. The Vikings, I agree with you, Jay. I think it's going to be an interesting year. I don't see them being on top of it. So it really just leaves the Packers and the Lions, and it's like, dude, this is the black and blue division for a reason. This is going to be fun to watch.
I mean, I could see the NFL Sunday Night Football opening Packers-Lions.
Oh,
right?
Let's like, do Here's a guy.
Right?
Here's a guy.
I mean, tell me you can't see that, right? Tell me you can't see Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night of opening week. Like,
for
that's,
sure.
That's
in Lambeau?
That's for sure going to be an opener. Or it's going to be a primetime game every time they play.
Yeah, Collins was sliding in with that goofy grin on his face. It's good to be alive, Mike.
Take him out of freezing for 4 months a year. All right, back into your Hydro Caver.
The other thing I think Packer fans would say, what's funny is, you know, they actually finished top 10 in scoring defense in terms of just points per game allowed. But if you drill down deeper into some of those games, just some of the blown defensive, like the game-winning drives they would give up. And
yes, that's why,
man,
Joe Barry,
like,
got the kick to the curb.
100%. Ouch. Even after the playoff success, you know, Joe Barry was just kind of, you know, walking dead for the last 6 weeks of the season. So they wind up, they go out and they grab Jeff Hafley, the former head coach of Boston College. The last 4 years, he's their new defensive coordinator. He spent time with the San Francisco 49ers a few years ago as a D-backs coach, the Browns. He's got a bunch of NFL experience, not as a coordinator, but, you know, what does that look like defensively? Do they get better late in some of these games? I think Packer fans are thrilled that they made that change. We'll have to see if it actually translates. But
well, that's what you worry about when, I mean, when you know that that's a glaring problem, right? And everyone did. At the end of the year, everyone was like, man, this defense has got issues, right? And then you go have the success that you have in the playoffs. Everyone gets a little nervous, like, well, should we fire him?
Right.
Like, he kind of showed up when it mattered. Like obviously, yeah. We didn't win at all. But I think every fan base, like the Packers fan base at the end of that playoff run, butthole puckered, like, please, please don't let me get a Twitter notification. Like, bring, extended, Joe Barry. Right? Like, that was everyone wanted. And so hats off to front office of saying, hey, this is an issue. We got to fix this. And if we want to be a championship team, we're going to address it.
Yeah. So, all right, those are sleeper teams right there. Those are, this is kind of the groundwork being laid for the neck tattoo.
Oh yeah!
Declarations later in the off season, boys.
We're getting there.
It's getting close.
Let's go around the room here and identify some mics. And I feel like we should take a step back too. There's people I see in the comment section
who are maybe new to the show. Like,
what is a mic? Why don't you guys explain what is a mic and why do we do a Who's the Mic segment?
So, as you know, this is an offensive line lifestyle podcast, and the mic, meaning the middle linebacker, when we're describing it, rules majority of our lives during a football game, because as an offensive line, we have to come up and identify, hey, 57's the mic or 54 is the mic. And then that allows everyone else around us to create their count based off what play it is, based off what the protection is. Like, everything starts from that moment that the center comes up and declares who the mic is, right? So when we say who the mic, all we're saying is that is a big time identification that we need to talk about. Right, we need to understand and we need to know why that guy right there is the Mike linebacker, and then we can feed off of that. So that is why we say who is the Mike. We identify the Mike on every single play, and so that's why we do it every single week.
It's the most important thing to us, by far. Who's the Mike?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm just gonna throw it out. Let's just
start. Do it.
You guys want to talk about this?
We're gonna do it.
And we've got it. I can't imagine being his agent, and to have our resident agent on the show, Jeremiah.
It's the first thing I text you guys on Easter morning.
Rashee Rice is the mic to start us off here.
He's the mic this week for sure.
For those of you who haven't maybe followed this story closely the last few days, police officers were called to North Central Expressway in Dallas at 6:25 p.m. Saturday after two speeding drivers lost control and crashed, causing a chain reaction collision involving four other vehicles. So the drivers were in a Corvette and a Lambo. One of the cars was leased or registered to Rashee Rice, Kansas City star breakout wide receiver. The Corvette, by the way. The occupants of the Lamborghini and the Corvette all ran from the scene, and there is video of this too, without stopping to determine if anyone needed medical help or providing their information. Here's the statement from Rashee Rice's attorney, Royce West. On behalf of Rashee Rice, his thoughts are with everyone impacted by the automobile accident. Rashee is cooperating with local authorities and will take all necessary steps to address the situation responsibly. Any and all requests for comment can be directed to his attorneys, Mr. Royce West of West and Associates, LLP. Yeah. Welcome to the offseason, Kansas City.
Unreal, dude. Unreal. So
I didn't see the story until Easter morning. Like, that's kind of when everything kind of broke. And all I could think about was, like, thank God I'm not his agent. right? Because you imagine waking up Easter morning, you're like, oh, he has risen. He has risen indeed. He has defeated death. Where's my family? And you look at your phone, you've got 100 missed calls. Like some of them, you got to like check the voicemail. It's like, hello, this is the Dallas Police Department. We're currently looking for your client, Rasheed Rice. Have you heard from him? He's currently missing. Would love to call you back. You call Rice, no answer. Text him, what's going on? Like family's getting ready for church. And you're like, I'm not going to make it.
I'm going to be busy.
Right? Like just, I could not imagine getting one of those calls and trying to figure it out. Or better yet, you like, you get a call from Rice like, hey, walked away from an accident. What do you think I should do? I don't
walk
know.
Walk back.
Go back. Like,
they
have
you on pictures too and video walking away, and you're just like, yeah, I'm walking away.
No one saw me. Did you leave your car? Yeah. Idiot. It's called a license and registration.
It's called a VIN number.
Oh, yeah. That belongs to that guy. Like, you can't get out of this. There's no way. Like, I don't understand. I've never understood the idea of running from the accident. Like, in today's age, they're going to know it was you.
Dude, there's,
like, there's
a guy
no hiding.
That asked him as they're walking away, you're just going to walk away from this? You're just going to walk away? And there's like somebody filming them. Like,
yeah, they've got their phone out. Like, where are you going? And they're like, oh, I'll be right back.
Yeah, just, I got to go grab my wallet fell out.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't get it. I'm sorry. I don't. Like, you're in such a major position right now for one of the greatest teams in the NFL. With one of the greatest leaders and one of the greatest head coaches. It just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't
to me.
Even like, matter. That. It's you're in the NFL. I don't care if you're on the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Raiders. Like, I mean, Henry Ruggs, this was an issue a couple of years ago. Like, you just have to understand it's not worth it in that moment.
It's not.
Like, it's not worth throwing away what you've worked your entire life for to street race your buddy in a Corvette or a Lamborghini. You want to race cars? Go to Vegas. You can race them.
Go to Vegas. We did it.
It was fun.
It was insane. It's fun.
Dude, it's
go
so
do
fun.
It. Don't do it on the freeway
no.
or the expressway where you could literally kill someone else. Like, that's the part. And you just feel bad for him in a sense of, like, it was a mistake and it was an accident and it could ruin his career. It could not. Time will tell. But, you know, I'm glad no one was killed, first of all. Like, I mean, I know there was injuries and whatnot, but also have the balls to come out and make your own statement.
Right.
Don't hide for 2 days, right? Like, literally go underground like Osama bin Laden and you're hiding in a cave, and then all of a sudden send out your attorney with this half-ass, like, on behalf of Rasheed Rice, his thoughts and prayers with everyone.
He's going to handle this responsibly. Like,
no, he isn't handling it responsibly.
We're a little past that point.
Yeah, like,
no. Not going on, well.
Like, you need to have it to be like, he left the scene, he feels terrible about it, he didn't know what to do. Like, no. None of that.
So at what point in your life, because on one hand, we are dealing with, you know, dudes in their early 20s that are, you know, all of a sudden they have money and stuff. At what point do some of these guys start to think a little bit of, you know what, my life is pretty good right now. I've got, you know, a pretty good professional situation. I got money on the way. Maybe I got a gal, whatever. I don't know if he has a family. But like, at what point do they put some space between, yeah, let's go race Lamborghinis on the street versus, you know what, I don't want to screw up my awesome situation here. Let's maybe not be impulsive and do something ridiculous.
I think you're right. I think this started harmlessly. Like, we're just on the highway. All of a sudden, a Corvette pulls up. We start racing. We don't think anything bad's going to happen. But then something bad happens, right? What made it worse was the minute everybody walked away from it. That's what made it worse. Like, I could understand being like, hey, Rasheed Rice was in a car accident because he was racing someone on the highway. Like, dumbass was racing. Got it. Something harmless. Oh, we'll just go really fast and nothing bad will happen. Something bad happened, but we stayed and we took care of it and the police came and we handled it and it is what it is. But now it's like, we left the scene. We're nowhere to be found. Police can't find you. You don't put out your own statement. Jay's got a great point. Like, at some point you have to be a man and take responsibility for it. I'm not saying that making a mistake isn't wrong. We all make mistakes. Dude, I've made some terrible mistakes. But at the same time, none of us hid and like didn't handle it. Like, especially in 2024, times are different. You have to know that. Everyone has a cell phone that has a camera, that has something. You're trackable. You're traceable. Everything is so different. You're just under the microscope in such a different limelight. And that's why it's like, I'm surprised to see this still happening now. Well, problems like, dude, you walked away from a six-car accident down the middle of the highway. Like, where did you think you were going to go?
Well, just that was walking, strolling that, down
my
the
question
shore.
Where did you like, walk to?
Well, that was what I was asking. Is like, did someone like pick him up? Or did they just like
did they just walk
the
off
bar-
the off
did
ramp?
They just like hop probably. The barrier and go? Like, that's when they were like left the accident. I was like, in the middle of the expressway? Like, there's not
I didn't
exactly
get that
like hop up. Like, the cops are usually there pretty quick.
Yeah.
But then also the other piece of it, you know, this is the last piece for me is when you walk away from an accident like that, you allow the narrative to spin completely out of control.
Way
right. Like, and now I've seen reports there was guns in the car, right? And then there was sneakers in the car. And then there was this, like, and now you're adding so many question marks to something that you knew, like Alex said, it was a mistake. It was an accident. He obviously didn't do it on purpose, but you have to own that. When you walk away from something like that and you allow the media to run with other stuff, now there's a bunch of more question marks out there than answers, and you're just digging yourself a deeper hole than you are to try and get out of it.
Are they going to feel the pressure to cut him, or what's the...
That was my thought. Because he...
So.
Only because they have him on video walking away. If he would have stayed and been like, this was a terrible accident... It goes differently, in my opinion. Like, everything's fine right now. Everyone's just like, hey, Rashee Rice was caught racing and an accident happened. Everyone's okay. Thank God. It is what it is. But now it's like you said. And in the video, the lady's like, and I saw him grab a gun. And it's like, there you go. That's how it spins out of control. Just like that.
If the gun run is real, then there's
another problem.
Of getting cut. I think if everything's like, okay, there wasn't guns. Like, it is like, but as soon as you hear the weird gun, gun starts to make the NFL feel very. Very,
very nervous. They are not with the gun thing, dude. I'm telling you, like, they came in every year and they were like, dudes, no guns.
Yeah.
Ever.
I waited to get my concealed carry permit till I left.
For sure. They were like, don't ever fuck around and bring a gun in here. It's yourself. They were like, ever. And you were like,
got it.
Got it. Like, with the one time they're like, don't.
Except there's like, always a few in the back, like, never take my AK. God, yeah, you have AK.
Hey, there may have been a couple times we saw a gun in the facility, and everybody was just like, shh.
Yeah, "What are you doing?" They're like, "Oh, I just got it from the guy.
Get
got
that out guy. Of here now.
Put it in the car, cover it with a blanket, and go home."
No bullshit. We had one brought to a white elephant, and somebody was like, "Grab it!" And I grabbed it, and I was like, "What is it?" They're like, "It's a gun." I go,
"What?"
I was like, "Is it really?" And they were like, "Yeah. Don't tell anyone." Okay.
Well, that was like Case Keenum in 2017. He got all the offensive line shotguns for Christmas. And the best was he walked in December, like early December, and he was like, hey, quick question for all of you guys. We're like, yeah, what's up, Case? He's like, any of you guys convicted felons? And we're all like, no, Case, don't think so. Good. All right, sounds good. And like he left and walked out of the door. I was like, what the f-? Okay, and then like for Christmas, we had to go like, he's like, all right, here's what we got. You got to go pick up your gun from the local sporting goods store. But he got us these sweet trigger shotguns with like a gold-plated trigger, Remington 870s with a sweet bag. Like it was one of the cooler gifts, but it was just funny because he's like, you guys aren't felons, right? Okay, good.
I was envisioning him walking into like the O-line room just tossing shotgun right. at everyone.
Wait, you get a shotgun. Yeah. You get a gun. Coach is like, what the hell is going on?
Tony's like, what the hell, boys?
Did he give shotguns to guys that weren't hunters? Like, did anyone get a shotgun that's
never held
a gun before?
Yeah, there was a few guys that were like, what do I do with it? I was like, you could sell it to me because you don't need this.
Yeah, you have like no Brandon idea what Fusco, you're doing
Brandon
with
Fusco,
this.
Brandon Fusco, I don't think has ever shot a gun in his life before. And
that's me, by the way.
Like, yeah, oh, yeah, this is cool. That's me. It's like, yeah, that's the pointy end. Don't point that at anyone.
That was Fusco.
Look at me.
He used to do that shit all the time. He make me laugh.
So we're just happy that Rashee Rice is cooperating with local authorities and will take all the necessary steps to address the situation responsibly.
Patrick Mahomes right now is literally like, I just can't catch a break. Like, I just can't. I can't get
it.
Guys are offsides.
Just yesterday, he received his player performance of $350,000. Rashee Rice, $350,000.
Just go buy another. Go buy another Lambo.
Yeah,
go buy another Corvette.
He's gonna need that to fix up his Corvette.
Unreal, dude.
Man. All right, who's the next Mike?
Yeah, I'll go with it.
Go for it.
Next Mike, the kickoff.
Ooh.
The kickoff coming to the NFL, which is hilarious to me. The XFL started it last year, and then the USFL was like, nah, NFL's doing it. Fuck off. We're doing it ourselves. Right? Like, I like the new kickoff rule, and here's why I'm going to say that. It's not as much that, like, oh, it's going to be fun and exciting and new, but for the last 3-4 years, the kickoff hasn't really been a play that's mattered in the NFL. And why that may not matter to the general public, it matters to me specifically in my business that when you have a core phase of special teams that doesn't really exist anymore, there's really less reason to keep a four-core special teamer on your roster. And so many guys make it into the NFL and stick in the NFL because of their contribution on teams. Yeah. And over the last 2 years, it's been kickoff, it's been punt and punt return. That's it.
Right?
That's been it. And so now when you're adding an element like this back into the kickoff, kick return game, you're bringing guys like, we need to have dudes that can do this job and do it well, because there's going to be a lot of kick returns next year.
Yes.
Like a lot. Like, you're talking about putting Tyreek Hill back there, getting a running start, catching the football on everyone else who's standing flat-footed. You're asking for some explosive type plays here, which I'm here for. Sign me up. I'm in on it. But you're also going to have to put some dudes out there that are going to be able to tackle and create space and get off blocks. And it's just good for the game. I know there's football purists out there that are going to hate this, right? They're just going to be like, oh, it's not the same. Like, the game is changing. The game is evolving. But I am all about the new kickoff rule. I think it's going to be a really exciting time. I think we're going to be early in the year, it's going to be people feeling it out. But once these special teams coordinators figure out how to scheme some of these returns open, it's going to get electric. And I'm here for it.
I agree with you 100%. Those guys are some of the most creative. Like, when you talk about having to drop a kickoff return and have to make it work, and you think about the old NFL.
Well, dude, I remember
Devin Hester. Dude, you kicked the ball to him, and it was like, that was stupid. That was, here it goes. But then you're right. It got taken away because the wedge got taken away, and they started making it. It has to be a one-on-one block.
Thank God. Were you on the wedge?
By the way.
Were you on the wedge?
Fuck all you. I was on the wedge.
I was on the wedge, too.
And I remember they would be like, hey, rookie. You run 15 yards, you hold your hands out, they're going to come grab you, and you just run. And here's the problem. Let me tell you a problem. Chicago. We're playing Chicago. They put one of their D linemen as the number five, and he ran a fucking 4.5 40, and he was 300 pounds, and he would light up the wedge. And I mean light it up. And this dude played us, and I didn't have to go out there for the wedge. It was like one of our linebackers. He got fucked up. And I was like, oh my God. Dude, I was like, this is one of the most insane plays of, like, you would literally be out there in practice, like, please God, just bite down real hard. Cause you knew guys were just coming for you. You were the wedge. You were the one that they had to blow up.
The wedge was a nightmare.
Dude, my brother was a wedge breaker in high school.
Those dudes are
and he loved it. Like, they used to put black stripes down your helmet if you knocked dudes out. And my brother had the most black stripes I've ever seen in a helmet. He was
shout out to CTESPN around.
For the wedge. Like, if you want to if you want to Google why CTE became a thing, just go Google wedge kickoffs.
Dude,
like wedge kickoffs. That. You would take it was an O lineman and then usually like a tight end and maybe another O lineman. Like, there was sometimes or a D lineman. And you would literally run back and hold hands and just sprint at whoever was the wedge guy that week. Right? Right, it just pure insane. Chaos.
It was so stupid.
Like, looking so back on it, like, But I can remember the first time I did it in a live game. Like, because it was in priest. God damn it. Here
goes. There it goes.
I can remember, like,
Once we get to 20K subscribers, new microphones. I'll get
a new mic. We're getting you a new mic.
But, like, in practice, like, leading up to my first, I think it was my rookie year. Like, they're like, hey, you're on the KOR. And then the first time you do it in a real game, I was like, oh my God, these dudes are moving so fast. Like, so fast. Like, purely just like, whoa, whoa.
Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It does not. Because you're just, they're running right at you and you're like, I'm flat footed. And all of a sudden, somebody
goes. Backwards, right? Because you're running
backwards. But they're getting like a 40-yard head start.
Yes. The problem is, you also, like, you're looking back and you're waiting for the returner to give you the go call.
That's what you're waiting for.
And so you're looking and also they're like, go, go, go. And you turn around and they're 10 yards away from you.
And you're like, no, no. I'm telling you, I'm excited for this new rule tool. And I agree with you. I think like the purists of football are going to be like, oh, this is stupid. But nobody was doing anything. Everyone was just kicking it out of the back of the end zone. And everyone was like, okay, this is stupid. We're not doing anything. And you're right. Now you add value to more players.
Yes.
Guys who were getting cut that were like, I swear I'm valuable. If you could just return a couple of these. And they're like, what do you want us to do? Nobody's doing it anymore. Now you're going to bring guys back in that are keeping older guys around that are longer. Like, dude, look at who was Slater from the Patriots. Played like 12 years, all as a special team player.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are going to start showing back up again, dude. This is going to be so fun to watch. I agree with you. I think I'm super excited about it.
You're going to see the return of like a returner is going to become a premier position.
NFL. Dude.
Right? Like you talked about like that guy, Xavier Worthy from Texas, that ran a 4-2-1. Like now all of a sudden you're like, hey, you may become more valuable than you know now. If you can go from 0 to 100 like that, maybe now you do talk about you going up in the first rounder. Cordell Patterson. Right, dude still runs like an absolute animal with the ball in his hand.
Yep.
And now it's like, hey, you're going to return kicks again. This is what made you who you were.
Right? Also, like, don't you guys
think
it's
going
to be great? It's going
to
be great.
On the old kickoff format, there's only so many ways to scheme it, really. But now,
that's a lie.
There was 8 to 10 returns in every week.
Like right? the fives would come across and hit people. Dude, it was awesome.
You had middle left, right, middle bounce, middle.
But don't you think, maybe I'm wrong on this, but don't you think there's more ways to scheme? I mean, you're literally lining up as if it's a running play.
Oh, 100%.
We think we can add more to it.
On a kickoff return, you can run power. You can run zone blocking schemes. You can run.
Oh, it's going to be great.
You can put your starting offensive lineman out there. I mean, because it's all it's close quarters now, right?
It's like 5 yards away. It's going to be so fun, dude.
Our team's going to just kick it through the back of the end zone to get, because it's the 30-yard line now.
That's,
is it going to be worth just, you know, screw it, let's just put him at the 30 in some situations?
Maybe, but through the 30s.
I don't know, man. You get out to the 30, and you're looking almost halfway down the field, and that starts to get dangerous for another team.
Dude, you go to the 30, you're two. Like, if you have a good kicker, you're two first downs away from field goal range.
That's my point. Like, right? Dude, like, you're really going to force the hand of a lot.
These kickers are kicking 65 yarders. So
I mean, you got kickers bombing 64 yarders in the UFL.
Did you see that?
How about that guy? So he hadn't kicked since high school? Is that accurate?
Just went out there and just
welcome to the NFL, buddy. Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, you do something like that, the NFL
first dude being called up. You already know all 32 teams were like, he did what? 64? Call him. By the way,
UFL, we were on a text thread. No looking at the text thread. Who is your team and did they win?
Birmingham Stallions, and they absolutely won, baby. Matt Corral came in, threw him down the field, roasted him up. Go Stallions.
Dude, the Houston Roughnecks rushed for like 40 yards. I don't even know what to say. I need to go down there and have a talk.
All right, so here's what the text thread was. It's not football season. We're all like just holding on for dear life here. We decided as an O-line committee before the game started, right? We did this Saturday morning before the game started. We are all picking a team and dying on the hill for that team this year. We're going to get merch. We're going to be all about it. And I'm all about the Birmingham Stallions going all the way to the ship. Let's go. Come on, Stallions. Be ponies.
Be ponies. Dude, the Roughnecks better pull their heads out of their asses. They passed for like 150 yards, rushed for 40. I was not happy. I'm going to tell you right now. I was like, dude. This is some bullshit. You guys are both 1-0, and I'm 0-1. This is nonsense.
Dude, I think I'm 0-1, right? I'm St. Louis Battlehawks.
Well, I don't know.
I thought you won.
This is your job.
I was very confidently 0-1 until Boone just said I was 1-0.
Oh, I think you just got fined.
By the way,
we've created a fine.
No, you're planting doubt. You're planting doubt in my head here.
UFL. I'm checking right now.
Tuesday mornings or whenever we record.
Hold on.
If you don't,
they lost, dude. They lost 18-16.
Oh, did
that's
they?
You know what? In fact, that's a ding.
That's
for Alex.
That's a false bell.
Yeah.
That's a false bell for Alex Boone.
Yeah. I just said I wasn't sure.
Sensitive.
I thought they
don't
lost.
Don't you get I'm sensitive not. On me.
I just said.
By the way, I don't get how you can beat a team called the Maulers and call yourself a real tough guy. The Pittsburgh Maulers.
Dude, the names are fantastic. I love the names.
The Brahmas. Showboats. Who's the Brahmas? Is it the San Antonio? The Showboats.
This is hilarious. I love it. Dude, by the way, I already got my hat. So you guys are in.
Oh, you did? Did you go trucker style or what would you opt for there, Boone?
Oh, yeah, I had to do the trucker one for sure.
It's great.
I'm getting a hat. I'm getting an order. I'm getting a Stallions hat order.
UFLmerch.com. I don't even know what the website is.
I'm all about it, dude.
We're doing
it. We need one more mic before we get to dumb football questions here. Boone, do you have a mic that you want to throw out here?
Let's do it. Let's talk about the Jets making a move.
Oh, man.
Making a trade, dude. Coming in for the Hassan Reddick. They were like, you know what, dude? We got to do something. I'm coming back around a little bit to the Jets. I'm not against this.
It all depends if their geriatric quarterback can stay healthy or not, dude.
Dude, it's going to be interesting.
That is the whole thing that their linchpin of their entire season rests upon.
Agreed.
If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, yeah, they'll give themselves a chance in every game because he's Aaron Rodgers. If he can't, we're looking at a rinse and repeat of 2023.
That skeptical. Could be a mess, too. That's my question. If it's a rinse and repeat,
everyone's fired. Okay. Everyone.
I'm just making sure we're all on the same page.
From top to bottom.
Like, I can't believe we thought this was going to work. Yep.
Like, if this is a rinse and repeat and Aaron's hurt, like, and you paid all that money and gave up all that capital, it doesn't work, everyone's getting fired.
Gone. Everyone. Also, here's the latest headline, okay? If you just look up, you know, Jets headlines, for instance, okay? Jets owner refutes absolutely false report that he and Coach Robert Saleh had a dispute and a yelling match. The fact that it's, I mean, you got the Chiefs trying to figure out what are we doing with Rashee Rice here fleeing the scene of a speed racer incident. But the Jets are sitting here, like head coach maybe arguing with owner. They're always just a disaster in every facet. They're always like in the headlines for the wrong reasons.
Dude. It's never easy for the Jets.
You know what the latest headline is for the Lions right now?
Nothing.
There is
nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. But that's New York at the
Lions
same time.
Lions reload.
But let's be honest, they really went after Colleen Wolf for that. Did you notice that? Has anyone been paying attention to that whole thing?
Did she report?
She was the one that kind of broke it, right? And I like Colleen Wolf. She's really nice, cool. She was just like, a source told me that they were kind of fighting, and all of a sudden this just blew up. But this is exactly what happens in New York. The minute something like this goes down, people are just going to go crazy with it. And that's why this media thing is kind of getting crazy for them. Because they're kind of under the microscope in a massive way now. Like, everyone's like, Woody Johnson and Robert Saleh are fighting, and people don't know if to believe it or not. And at the same time,
they're going to dispute it.
Yeah. Dude, of course they are. You would never want anyone to know that your problems. But that's why it's like, where there's smoke, there's a little fire. Like, somebody might not be wrong. I guarantee you.
Stephon Diggs, there's truth to all rumors.
Dude, for sure there is. But
we should do a segment where we just read Stephon Diggs' cryptic tweets every week.
Oh, that's so fun. Well, talking about Diggs.
You have to know him to love him.
I got kind of a left field mic here before we move on. I think that women's college basketball has been super exciting this year.
Yes.
I think it's been really fun to watch. But I also think it's really interesting that the women's college coaches did not understand that when you become way more into the public eye and the public perception of what's happening, there's going to be criticism. There's going to be articles that you do not like, and you can't take it so personally.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's true. It's true. You can't. Like, you.
Dinger
you,
for I sensitive. Agree. Do it.
Like,
do it.
Well, I agree. You should, and Kim, women's basketball 100% should have been elevated to where it was at this year because it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to follow Caitlin Clark, all that stuff. But now you've got the head coaches that are like, I was so offended by that article that guy wrote, and I didn't even read it. It's like, ah! That's not how that works, right? Like, you can't say things like that. Like, you have to understand that if you're going to be in the larger limelight, there's going to be criticism. You got to learn how to take it on the chin. The NBA coaches, the college coaches, the NFL coaches get this shit all the time. It's okay. Just roll with it.
And the top players get crushed,
constantly
murdered. But then that, like, what's her name came out with, like, the thing was like, this person has been trying to write an article on me for 2 years. Two, I refuse to talk back. And now if he writes it, I'm suing him. It's like, let's try and figure this out, right? Let's work this out. But like,
I'm suing him.
Yeah, I found it interesting that it was just like everyone took it so personal. Every article, every headline was just a personal attack upon everyone. It's like, no, this is just mainstream reporting. I know you guys have been not in the main light. This is what it is. Get used to it.
Yeah. Also, some of these college coaches, like Kim Mulkey is the one from LSU you're talking about. And she's been around. She's got like 4 national titles, 25 years, and she's run Baylor and LSU and done whatever she wants, bringing the best players. And like you said, and that's great. Like, all the work that she has done and Gino at UConn has brought us to this point now where you've got these titan organizations. But yeah, like this is what everyone wanted, and this is awesome. But there's always a certain percentage of criticism, and it's just going to get magnified. So everyone needs to take a deep breath, calm down.
Relax.
Yeah. Just because they write it doesn't mean it's true.
That, The article wasn't even that inflammatory. It's like, most great coaches are hard to play for. Most great coaches you probably hate in the moment a little
hated
bit.
Them.
You know?
Hated them. Hated them. Yes. But you love them later. And that's what they don't understand. It's like it has to be a love-hate relationship with a great coach. Because when you're out on the field or you're on the court, whatever it is, you're like, God, they're just a dick. The minute you come off the court, I'm going to be honest, and I'm not going to name any names, but Jay and I have talked about this a lot. There are a lot of O-line coaches that we were like, you wouldn't believe how nasty this guy was. And then you meet him and you're like, are you sure? Because that was the sweetest old man I ever met. And they're like, don't. It's how it goes. And do you think those coaches gave a flying fuck what any reporter wrote about them? They don't give a shit. They were like, I'm here to
Scribes
do my job. Hey, Jimmy, get up there. And he'd be like, got him again. Scribes and pundits, they're believing me. You'd be like, this guy's the best. He's just messing with them. Like deep down, you know, it's a big joke. And you can't really take anything serious. That's why the fine system was created in the O-line room, because you're the ones that are taking most of the heat and you're like, dude, we have to be able to shake this stuff off and laugh it off and do whatever, because they don't know the truth about us. And people like that don't understand how hard of a commitment you have to be in and be like, yeah, I hated that guy, but I loved him. Like, hated him, but I loved him.
Yeah. So, yeah. By the way, Caitlin Clark, she dropped 40 points last night. She's coming off screens and just popping like logo threes against one of the best teams in the country. By the way, Minnesota's own Paige Beckers leads UConn. I think we get Paige versus Caitlin
in
the
Final
Four.
I didn't see who won the UConn game last night.
UConn, man.
I just wanted to watch the LSU-Iowa game. Like,
it's going to be one of the most watched. Game. I think it's going to be one of the most watched women's basketball games of all time. I think the final matchup from them last year was.
Yeah.
I wish I knew what you guys were talking about. I really do.
Hey, listen, Spoonie, I'm not big on women's basketball
this
tournament's been fun to watch. It's been a good time to watch. The basketball's been pretty good.
Boone, this would be a good time for a softball cheer here. Teach us a softball cheer. We're championing women's sports, and you are the number one champion of the girls' softball team.
Dude, I can't even tell you how many meetings I had to go to last night. I had to go sit to a softball meeting, and then I had to go to baseball practice, and then I had to come home and get ready for. Dude, it's just basketball. I don't have time to watch basketball. Stop it. Stop it.
We should sit down and watch like an NBA Finals game with Boone and have him.
No.
Stare at the TV.
Zero chance you'll catch me doing that. Zero chance.
By the way, before we get to dumb football questions, here is a reading from Stefon Diggs' Twitter account.
Do it.
March 29th. All that hating don't make you no extra money. March 28th. Ketchup goes in the fridge, by the way, not the cabinet. March 25th. Being diligent. March 17th,
oh,
God,
incredible.
I trust you. March 16th, ..
That was the best one because that was right before free agency. And I was like, oh, God, he's getting traded.
March 15th, ready for whatever.
Dude, he knows he's just got a captive
audience. He's just
audience,
messing with everybody.
Just sitting there,
it's
just
so
eating
funny.
Out of the palm of his hand. Just, what next, Mr. Dix?
So there's a reading from Stefon Diggs' Twitter account.